Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, welcome into the StarCast Sticker Mark Studios, along with Christian and James, who we'll meet here in just a second. I'm Ryan, and this is the AGR for Game 14. Chris is like smirking at me. I can see him off screen smirking at me. We're serious. We're not doing PGRs anymore. After that, the one time we said we weren't going to do a PGR, they actually won, and it was a dominating game. So we're doing AGRs now, after game reviews. And anyways, we are brought to you by DraftKings. Make sure that you use the promo code THPN next time you go and use their app for a special little offer from them. And that lets them know that we sent you, and we really appreciate the support from there if you guys would go and do that. So at this point, we're going to go ahead and bring in Chris and James. Hey, guys, how are y'all doing?
I'm great. I love playing teams that are on their second game of back-to-backs. That's fun.
I know, right? Exactly. That's exactly how I thought. So despite all of the, the naysayers and everything like that, has Bonus figured it out?
He has these two games. He's done pretty good.
Yep. So what are y'all's original thoughts coming out of this game? What's a big storyline for you with this game in particular, or even the last two games in particular?
We scored 5-on-5 goals, and we won games. Pretty crazy how that works. I mean, tonight we only had the one power play and the one penalty kill, and we still found a way to put 5 goals on the board in regulation. So, very happy about that.
And, James, what do you have anything going on for you?
Oh, can't hear James.
Yeah, we lost James. We can't hear you, buddy, whether you're talking or not.
Oh, we good now? Oh,
there we go.
Okay. So now that you can beat the teams who you're supposed to on their back-to-back nights, now can you pull it into the next game?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah. I'm going to go back to the offense for me. I think the big thing for the Stars is they've scored 10 goals in 2 games when it took them like 5 games to score 10 goals previously. So I'm enjoying the offense, and, you know, given that, you know, 2 of the goals are empty netters, but you know what? Who cares? It's 10 goals in 2 games. I'm going to sit there and run with it. Before we get into the rest of this game, though, huge shout out to Zach and Monica, Zach's new bride. They're having fun down in Disney World, and sorry guys that we didn't do the PGR last game, but we were having a little bit too much fun with Zach and this past weekend, so shout out to him. But I did want to put Chris on the spot here because I thought this was hilarious. I'll let him tell the story. So we went to Topgolf the night before, right? And Chris is already giving me a death glare. Chris, do you want to tell everybody what you did?
All right, listen, I want y'all to understand that I'm an athlete, and as an athlete, I need to have prime conditions when I perform, and the conditions at the Topgolf were not prime, so they turned on the heaters because it was a little bit nippy out, got my hands all sweaty. I swung the 5-iron, and the sweaty hands and the 5-iron didn't mix really well, so the 5-iron got stuck in the net.
and give this. We're on the second floor, right? So he takes a swing and he swings it so hard and his hands are so sweaty that it goes up into the net on the third third floor.
And again, I blame the Topgolf because I'm an athlete. I need prime conditions, and that is entirely their fault.
So, still, I thought it was absolutely hilarious. Yep. So, anyways, we had a blast with the past couple of days, just with having fun with Zach and celebrating him and Monica. But, anyways, speaking of celebration, let's get into a celebration with some of these past couple of Stars games. The score for both of these games have been 5-2. So the Stars have scored 5 goals per game in the past 2 games, and they've only allowed 2 in return. So just looking at some of the stats or any players that you guys want to pull out, what kind of sticks out to you stat-wise or player-wise?
I mean, Roope Hintz, the floodgates opened, and he is now pouring it on with 3 goals in the past 3 games. And honestly, in these past 3 games, it's felt like he could have scored 6 goals. Like, it's been crazy. Like, 3 goals in 3 games, and it felt like he hasn't been doing that great. So, really excited for Roope Hintz to finally get going in his season. And like we said, the injury might have hampered him, but it looks like he's in full stride right now, and that needs to keep going, especially with that entire line, too. Not just Roope, but Roope, Robertson, and Pavelski, all of them points here tonight.
Yeah. And just real quick, Robertson had 3 points on the night tonight and still didn't make it on the Stars list.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
I don't know who did that, but
yeah,
maybe it was Bones.
Robertson has been awesome in the past couple of games. I think he's on a 4-game point streak now with 3 points just tonight. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Keep that rolling too.
Yeah, with the 3 points tonight, that gives him 9 points in 8 games to start the season for him. Obviously, he missed the first 6 games due to that injury that he suffered in the last preseason game, but he's looked great ever since coming in. The one player I wanted to point out, and I thought this was interesting, and I think it just says how much Bonus doesn't like this player, Riley Tufte. So Riley Tufte gets called up. It's not really a negative. It's more of just like an observation more than anything, because it's the fact that Riley Tufte only gets 7 minutes and 50 seconds on the night tonight, and everybody else got 10 minutes or above. So it was pretty split evenly between all 4 forward lines, but Riley Tufte not getting any kind of normal playing time for him.
And we know exactly what it really is, honestly. Bones is mad that Koma was sent down. And I think that's the only reason. I mean, Tufte hasn't done anything wrong, really. I mean, he didn't make an amazing defensive play on their first goal where he had a chance to stop the puck. But even then, that would have been a great back check. That's not his fault. So, I think it's 100% sure. Him being mad that Koma's gone.
And even last game, he hit 4 minutes the entire night. Like, he's not even getting a chance right now. It feels bad.
Yeah.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL team and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo codes THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I felt like this was the most complete period, was the first period. Even though we should have been up 2-3 nothing or whatever, it was the most complete period on both sides of the puck. I mean, just everything seemed to be clicking really well. Now, again, it's the Detroit Red Wings on a back-to-back, but who cares? You know, the Stars have needed something like this.
I mean, and we can't say specifically it's the Detroit Red Wings anymore. The Red Wings are a good team. I mean, they're 8-7 going into this game, above 500. They were rolling. They're on a back-to-back game, so that's the reason that they look like the old Red Wings, in my opinion, until the second period when they turned it on. Like, that team looked good for 10 minutes in the second period, but sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I specifically loved the breakouts for the Stars. The breakouts out of their own zone were absolutely
good.
Perfect. I mean, they weren't just trying to pass their problems along. They weren't trying to just get it up the boards. They were actually, you know, making creative plays to get out of their own zone, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
Side note for the Red Wings. Holy crap, those two rookies, man. Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond. My gosh. Both of those guys are going to be, like, monsters over their careers. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's the next, you know, Nick Lindstrom and, I guess, Steve Yzerman for the Detroit Red Wings. Not trying to equate those two guys to those two guys yet, but they've looked great. They're 1-2 rookie scoring, those two guys. So
yeah,
sorry, side tangent there. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, they have looked really good, but I totally agree with you on the outlet passes stuff. For the majority of the first part of the season, we've just been seeing chip it up the board and get into the neutral zone. But this game especially, even more so than Philadelphia, I feel like there's a lot of good small touch passes in our own zone, get it up the boards, then get it to the middle, and good plays like that really leads to your transition game. And that's what Bones talks about, defense to offense. That's how you get it, is you get clean outlet passes out of your own zone and you get momentum into the offensive zone. And we scored multiple times that way, and we had lots of good looks on the rush, which we historically haven't gotten.
And so the first period was by far the best period of the season, in my opinion, for the Stars. Now, unlike the Philadelphia game, that I felt like that was a better game overall than this game for the Stars, and I'm mostly thinking because of the second period. So beginning in the second period, Jamie Benn with a beautiful tip on a Miro Heiskanen wrist shot, and it finds its way past Nedeljkovic, and it leads the Stars to go 2-0. Jamie's third of the season, and Heiskanen nets his 10th assist. Mm-hmm. In 16 games, or 14
Heiskanen,
games, excuse me.
Heiskanen is earning his money right now. He is definitely, I think he's the leader for the Norris right now, honestly. Like, I know Fox is still looking great up in New York, but geez, Heiskanen looks crazy good. And he totally intended that to go straight to Jamie's stick, too. There's no way he was trying to score on that shot. It was too soft to try and score on. It was going straight for Jamie the whole way. Great play by Heiskanen.
And then it continues for the Stars with another goal. And with honestly, I thought with this goal, this 3-0 goal, that the Stars kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. But anyways, Roope Hintz from Esa Lindell. And that's Roope Hintz's third of the year. 3 goals in 3 games for Roope Hintz. And it finally looks like he's starting to get going in what we expected him to be this upcoming season.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I totally called that.
You did
on Twitter.
I swear, I saw that, and I was like, no way, no way.
I was like, you freaking
time traveler, James. Man. So anyway, it was a beautiful goal, and Roope Hintz gets his third of the year, and 3 goals in 3 games, like I said. However, here comes the Detroit Red Wings. Philip Zadina gets his third of the year from Gagne and Staal, and you know it was a good shot. It was a good shot. I don't fault Otter on this one, and that puts the Stars only with a 2-goal lead instead of a 3-goal lead, and that kind of puts some pressure on the Stars, and the momentum continues to get pushed in the Red Wings' direction.
Go ahead, James.
I'll take some credit for this because, oh goodness, I had some great jinxes in our group chat that we had tonight.
You really did. You really did. At least two.
So not 30 seconds before the goal goes, and I'm like, hey, that other tweet on the predictions is going really good right now. And as I send that, the goal goes in. So I'm deeply sorry.
It's okay.
And he's not even done yet.
Not done yet.
But yeah, and before that goal even, there's a timeout by the Red Wings coach right after the Roope Hintz goal. And from that timeout, pretty much until the Larkin goal, Detroit looked like a completely different team. They looked crazy good. They looked like the Detroit team that had won 8 games. So I don't know how they were able to flip a switch like that, but it's a good thing that we were able to respond after the Larkin goal. But I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Go ahead with the Larkin goal, Ryan.
Yeah, that's right. So Larkin scores on the power play, and he gets his 8th of the year. And Dylan Larkin is another guy that's been really good for the Red Wings this year, their captain. And he, of course, who are the assists from? Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond. So that kind of pushes the Stars to 3-2, and they do let in a goal on the power play. And there was only one power play for each side tonight. So despite the Stars losing the special teams battle tonight, they still win the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is where my second fault comes in, because I noticed that Larkkinen missed two really nice chances earlier in the game, and I type, hey, Larkkinen's not looking pretty good. That's pretty lucky. And then he scored.
And then he immediately scored.
I blame the two goals on me tonight. I stopped Otter's shutout.
So in other news, we're also having a witch burning, and we're going to be live streaming that on Twitch. So make sure you subscribe.
Well, anyways, the Red Wings did start continue to push in that second period. And for a while, I was going to be like, oh, no, here we go again. The Stars are going to blow a 3-goal lead, and it's going to be tied going into the third, and it's anyone's game at that point.
I felt, though, after the Larkin goal that we really did have some good pushback from the Stars offense, especially from the Hintz, Robertson, and Pavelski line. We had some good offensive zone time towards the end of that period, and I think that was really important going into the third to have that momentum.
Yeah, and 100% agreed. And Logan Onks, he says on YouTube, Robo, Hintz, Pavs line dominated tonight. They did. They looked very good tonight. And, you know, honestly, really it was the top three lines that looked really good, but all four lines did pretty decent tonight, in my opinion. It was mostly the top two lines that spent time in the offensive zone, which is what we expected. But the cycle game from the Stars looked great. They weren't dumping and chasing the whole time. They were actually bringing the puck into the zone, making creative passes, and, you know, getting into the zone and setting it up and, you know, getting scoring chances that, you know, we hadn't seen in the first, 10, 11, 12 games of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is still some dump and chase. And I mean, isn't that how the Robertson goal in the first Robertson goal in the third period went, from a dump
yes.
and chase?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's
going to happen, but it's got to be like time and play stuff. So if you've got momentum going into the offensive zone from your great outlet pass that we talked about earlier in the podcast, keep that going and take it up the rush. If you got no momentum and you just got a turnover in the neutral zone, no one's moving around, that's a good time to dump it in. Give yourself a chance going that way. So it's the time and place that we're talking about. And that's why I wasn't fully against the dump and chase, because I understand there's a time and place for it. But we're definitely seeing a good balance right now, I think.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and – go ahead, James. Go ahead.
I really liked the Ben Raffle Gurionov line tonight, because whereas they didn't necessarily score or create like a ton of chances, even when they weren't, they looked very physical in the game, and they looked like they were supposed to look like what we would expect that line to look like not physical and still getting chances while they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ben does score, don't forget, the first goal in the second period. It was off the faceoff, but yeah,
I really did like that third line tonight. It looked very good. It was just generally those three guys seemed to really complement each other, kind of like how Robo, Hintz, and Pavs kind of complement each other as well. So,
and Ben's definitely playing better than he has. Ben definitely has been playing better than he has in the recent years, and he's so much more impactful in the center role. I don't know how that happened when he's played left wing his entire life, and he plays center for 5 games last year, and all of a sudden he's a center now. But he really is. He needs to stay there, and he's great on the dot too. And I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Well, and I think the reason being is because that the center role is so much more impactful. And, you know, Jamie Benn wants to be impactful like that. And I know he's 32 and everything like that. But, you know, with a guy like that who, you know, the offense has kind of dried up a little bit. He'll still contribute, you know, 10, 15, 20 goals maybe. But, you know, giving him that ability to go out into the center role and find other ways to impact the game, that's the kind of thing that we need from our captain to do. And especially if the offense is not there. And he's doing not just the offensive stuff now, but he's doing a bunch of stuff.
It's just so strange, too, because the center role is normally reserved for, like, your best skaters, too, because you're moving the most in the center role, too. And Jamie Benn's definitely not one of our best skaters, but for whatever reason, he's just doing really well there. So I'd be interested to hear from someone who knows more about individual hockey play, talk about that.
I would really like to, and I think that's a really good point about Pavelski too. You know, Pavelski's getting a little bit older, so he doesn't necessarily need to be that first line center role like we need him to now that we have Hintz fully healthy, Sagan is fully healthy, Ben is actually doing pretty good as the third line center. So that gives him less responsibility, and it's not requiring him to be, you know, skating up and down the ice as much as Hintz does. So, anyways, I really liked that third line tonight. So, anyways, getting into the third period, Jason Robertson scores his second in the – oh, it seems like he scored more, but it's only his second of the year. And it's from Pavelski and Hakanpää on a really great play, and especially from Robertson. I didn't realize what had happened until it was already in the back of the net, and I think Nedeljkovic was kind of the same way.
It was a great play by both Hintz and Pavelski and Robertson, because Pavelski knew to let it go because they would trick the goalie. It was a great play. I thought it was really, really cool behind the net there.
Yeah, and for this was the one that they dumped in and they got it and were able to wrap it around.
This was the dump and chase goal.
And the dump was really nice for me because they put it really high, which gave them – be quiet, Chris.
It was a nice dunk.
they threw it really high, which gave the wingers the time to get to puck. So if you don't have the momentum to be able to get to it in time, if you're throwing it high, they get the time to get to it. It gives them it forces the turnover and makes the forecheck stronger.
We got to put that on a T-shirt. Nice dump. Nice
dump. So, the thing that I really liked about this is, you know, the typical Stars would turtle in, you know, one goal lead going into the third period. And I love the fact that they went out and they really tried to get that insurance goal and they got it. And of course, the person that gets the insurance goal is one of our top offensive players. And we need more stuff like that. I'm just so sick and tired of, you know, having the one goal lead and then just, you know, bearing down on it. And I mean, we can focus on more defense. That's fine. Okay. But if you have the opportunity to go into the offensive zone, don't just dump the puck in and change out and, you know, let the other team get momentum. Go and get another goal. And then that lets you play looser and more relaxed. And it allows you to, you know, the anxiety of having a one goal lead is gone. You have two. Yeah. You have a two-goal lead.
And you're exactly right. In general, in previous games, we would have this one-goal lead going into the third, and we would sit on it. That's why this season we've been the worst team when we have the lead going into the third period in the entire league. But to start this third period, we were aggressive. We were on the puck. We were trying to score. We weren't trying to preserve our one-goal lead. But then after our goal, at around the 10-minute mark, I feel like we did let off the gas. And that's the right time to do it, around the 10-minute mark when you have a two-goal lead. So I feel like we definitely managed the game a lot better this time, too. So you're exactly right, Ryan.
Was this you could look at it either way. Was this, and this is a question that just popped in my head, because I don't even know the answer to it. Was this a full 60-minute game from the Stars?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, we definitely had that rough spot in the second period, but that's also because the Detroit Red Wings really pushed hard there. I mean, I don't think we did a lot wrong there. We had a couple bad turnovers, but you're going to hit some rough patches in games. But I feel like we were able to bounce back from them well too, and not have to wait until the period ended before we got back to our game. Even at the end of the second period, we got back to our game too. So of course we weren't great the entire game. If that were true, we'd win 6-0, but that's not going to happen. But still, I think this was a full game performance, in my opinion. I think they did that well.
And I think the biggest thing for me was that, I mean, Larkin goes out in that third period, right? And it really felt like the Wings did not have nearly as much energy as soon as he wasn't in the lineup anymore. Like you could feel that team like take that loss on it.
It also could be they're playing their sixth period in 48 hours too. That definitely helps.
It does. So, and that kind of brings us, you know, full circle back to what we were saying about at the beginning of the game. Well, before we get to that, Jason Robertson scores the empty netter. What the heck?
He's a curler.
Out of all the ones that should have gone in, none of them went in except for the one that went 200 feet the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's after
I don't understand
he
that.
Nails the post on the, like, with the empty net there. That's after he nails the outside post. So,
well, and then he hits the post again on that goal. So
yeah,
he's just right. Playing post and he's doing it well.
Right. So anyway, Jason Robertson gets his second of the period, second of the game, third of the season from Glenn Denning. And that solidifies the Stars' win, a 5-2 victory over the really good, you know, Detroit Red Wings. They're really starting to turn the corner. They're not looking like the bottom feeders of the NHL like they were a couple seasons ago. So, again, let's get back to that question. So you could look at this negatively and say, the last two games we've played are against two teams that are, you know, not in necessarily in the top of the league, and they're also, you know, on the second game of a back-to-back. Or do you look at these games and you think optimistically and you say, hey, this team is finally starting to turn it around. Yes, it was at the expense of Blake Como, which I love Blake Como, but this has seemed to work. So how do you look at this? You optimistically or pessimistically?
Well, it's definitely optimistically. First of all, Philadelphia is a very good team. I can't pull up the record right now for some reason because I'm stupid, but it's a very winning record. and they win again tonight, 2-1. So that was a great win. And they are both on back-to-backs. And you know what? Maybe you just need that to get out of stuff sometimes. We still put up 5 goals on them. Those teams weren't playing terrible. There was times where Detroit was pretty bad this game. They had a lot of turnovers, but it's not like they were throwing the game away. We were still playing extremely well, and we were playing good hockey.
And Detroit still had points in the game where they looked really good. So
their goaltender looked amazing. Their goaltender robbed 3 goals straight up, unadulterated larceny.
Well, yeah. One of their defensemen's face saved one of them.
Yeah, somebody's face that didn't belong there stopped one. Why was his face there? I don't know. So, yeah, we they were playing well. Their goaltender was still playing well, and we still could have scored way more goals, too. So these are definitely really good wins. It helps that they were already tired, but sometimes you need that just to get out of a funk. We're back to 500. We're on the up and up. I have a very good feeling about this, and I am very much looking forward to playing against a well-rested Minnesota team on Thursday.
And, you know, and speaking of Minnesota, Philadelphia, Chris, is 8-4-2 in 14 games. They're fourth in the Metropolitan. So they are in the playoffs as of right now.
Fourth in the Metropolitan is first everywhere else.
Pretty much, yeah. And, you know, okay, so speaking of Minnesota, for those of you that have not been paying attention to Minnesota, Minnesota has been a very good team this year. Very good team. They're 10-5. They have not gone they have not lost in overtime yet, and they've only won one in past 60 minutes. So this is a team that mostly takes care of their business in the three periods and doesn't need extra time. And they're 10-5. You know, this is a Minnesota team that has not been very. They've always been mediocre. You know, basically their entire existence. And now it's really not starting to look at like this way, and this is going to be a really good test for the Stars.
Nope. Forever little brother. We'll take care of business. 3-game win streak. Calling it right here. Forever little brother. It's going to be 3-2. We're going to win in overtime.
Well, I would like to see how the Stars go up against the Minnesota Wild now that they're actually playing better and they seem to be doing well. So we'll see how this goes, and I really think that these teams like, you know, Dallas and Colorado especially, both of these teams that are like, I would not have guessed this, that they'd be 5th and 6th in the Central Division right now, and that, you know, Nashville would be 3rd and Winnipeg would be 1st. I would have never seen that happening.
Yeah, but the people saying it's still early are running out of the early. We're getting to the middle, and it's still there.
That is a very good point, Chris, because, you know, I think we might be turning it around at the right time. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Just out of the early that we're starting to turn this around.
And I hate to reminisce so early because we're still just barely turning it around. It's been 2 games. We've had 2 good games. But anyway, the fact that we were able to hold together the record that we have with how poorly we played in the beginning of the season is going to be so good when we look back on it at the end of the season, I think. It's going to matter so much, those big overtime wins that we got. So,
yeah, no regulation wins until November.
Exactly. So that's really bad. But to keep the record that we have somehow is a miracle, and it's gonna be big when we get down the stretch, I think.
So let me ask you about this. What did y'all think of Jake Oettinger tonight? How did y'all feel about his game this evening?
He was very good. He stopped a couple of guys when they had wide open chances right in front of the net off terrible turnovers by the Stars. It's one thing we didn't talk about. Stars had a lot of bad turnovers this game, but Otter sopped him up, so that was nice.
He's the first. It's the first like over 900 save percentage that I think we've had for like 3 games now. So he played really well, and that's the benefit of having a bigger goalie in net.
Yeah, I was gonna mention the bigger goalie thing next too, because Detroit took a lot of shots from the point. They didn't go in. I'm smart, guys. Listen to me. I'm a genius. That's why I'm on this podcast, dude. That's why I'm on this podcast. It pays to be big.
How big is Jake Oettinger? Let me look this up.
He's a large fellow.
He's enormous. I think he's 6'5". Yeah, he's 6'5", 220 pounds compared to...
Not enormous, but he's a large fellow.
Not enormous, my butt. He's huge.
Yes, he's huge compared to us, but compared to... hockey players, he's just big. Char is enormous.
Yeah, that's true. But by the way, did y'all see that fight between Patrick Maroon and Zdeno Chara? Zdeno Chara at 44 is throwing the mitts down. I would have never thought that. I mean, I guess when you're like, you know, 2 feet larger than everybody else, you can get away with that because your arms are so giant and everything. But it was a good fight. And, you know, Patrick Maroon put up a fight. It was good. So
I will be watching that after this.
Yes. Anyways, guys, anything else y'all want to mention before we call this a night?
Face-off percentage. We lost it. Unacceptable. We have to win face-off percentage. Pavelski sucked on the die. I don't know what was up with that. So did Hintz, too. Figure it out. I don't know.
Just real quick to read, Chris. Face-off percentage last game was 45-55 against a team who's like 3rd in face-offs, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I don't know. Yeah, I got nothing.
I mean, we won the game.
We won the game. That's why we're just in that passing bad. Thing, but...
Right.
I don't know, babe.
Well, I guess we'll call it... I'm sure we're forgetting something, but we'll call Otter. It a night from there.
More Otter. Otter was great. He deserves to play again. Do you think... Yeah. Do you agree?
I mean, why not? Why not? Because, I mean, if Hudobin's really not feeling good and Holtby is, you know, is hurt with, like, a minor little injury, why not just throw him back in?
And we can pull Kucherov. I mean, who knows how long they're going to be – how long Holtby's going to be sick. I mean, we don't know.
He may be hurt, sick for the whole season.
Yeah.
Just miraculously come back, you know, for the first round of the playoffs, assuming we make the playoffs.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, right? All right, guys. Anyways, make sure you follow us on all of our social media accounts. Starcastic R on Twitter and also all our personals. You can see on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. We're on Instagram and also on Facebook. Make sure you like us there and follow us on those as well. We'll be back with you guys again on
Thursday at 7.
Thursday at 7 against the
Trash Bags.
Trash Bags.
Minnesota Wild.
Minnesota Wild. Baby brother. Okay. And we'll catch you guys on the flip side. Y'all have a good evening.